Okay, good morning. Welcome to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Shabbos getting a little later. I don't know if anyone else feels last week was 4:15, this week 4:20, so I already feel like I start to have more time. So welcome back to our learning. We thank our generous sponsor who wishes to not be named publicly very much. Some of us know who she is, and it should bring bracha and simcha, nachas, and good health to you and your whole family, that your dedication to this class and enhancing our observance and appreciation of the gift of Shabbos, we thank you very much. So last time we met 3 weeks ago, actually. We missed 3 weeks ago, and we had a special shiur. It was actually interesting on the halachos of Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles, because when we last met, it was Hanukkah. So we're going to go back into the Sefer today. We're on page 34. If you do not have it, do not worry. I will read it. I just want to go back a paragraph, a page from where we are, because it's been about a month and a half. A month and a half since we last learned it inside. So let's just realign ourselves and reorient ourselves. What is Rav Shimshon Pinkus speaking about? So on page 34, we're reviewing the subheading. We're not going through the insights we shared. I'll tell you when we get to new. I'm just going to read. The question is, what should we do on Shabbos? So it's Erev Shabbos. What should we do on Shabbos? The Torah tells us what to do. Zachar Yom Shabbos Akadshel. You should remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is from Parshas Yisro. That's Erev Sadibros. To grasp what this means, let's start with something we already understand. We're all familiar with the main message of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, a Yom Hadin, kingship, Malchus, Yerushalayim. So the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Din and Malchus and Yerushalayim. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? The first thing that we do on Rosh Hashanah is to be aware that the day is unique. That's the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. Know that it's a Yom Hadin. Know that it's a day of Malchus. Know that it's a day when the king sits in judgment. The following scene could take place on an ordinary weekday. Again, I'm not going through insights that we did into this paragraph or two, because we did them already. They're available on Ma'ariv Torah previously. The following scene could take place on an ordinary weekday. A Jew is driving between two towns, and soon he realizes it's time for sunset. He stops by the roadside and he davens mincha. He doesn't have the greatest concentration. The cars are whizzing by. There's a child whining in the back seat. When he finishes davening, he thinks, well, that wasn't the greatest mincha I've ever davened in my life, but tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, I'll have another opportunity. I'll try to do better again. I just want to clarify one thing I did not say. It was about a month and a half ago when we read this, and we were talking about Tfilas Mincha, and I said that my friend told me that Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says mincha is a matana, a gift, that we offer God in the middle of the day. We stop everything we're doing. But I said, I did not know the source. I didn't hear his shiur originally. And somebody reached out to me. I think it may have been Esti Klein, who told me that why did Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg say that mincha, our tefillas mincha, can be interpreted as a matana to Hashem? Because we see in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov sends gifts to Esav, it calls them a mincha. Mincha la Adoni le Esav, so he's sending presents. The lashon is mincha, so therefore we can extrapolate from there that our tefillas mincha is a matana. Top of page 35. Now imagine it's Yom Kippur and it's the time for mincha. The same person has been in Beis Knesset all day. He is tired. He is weak. It's a long fast, and he says to himself, "Well, if I don't manage to daven mincha so well today, I'll try again tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow better kavana." Does that make any sense? Are you going to say that? Not really. Today is an opportunity to recite an al chait, to atone for the year's sins. Tomorrow he'll be busy building the sukkah. Today is the start of the new year. He won't be able to try tomorrow, so to speak. You can't duplicate the mincha of Yom Kippur tomorrow if today your concentration is not there. You're going to rouse yourself to pay attention. And now we come to new information. So all that was a recap. Those 3 minutes was a recap of what we have previously learned. Now we come to Shabbos Kodesh. What is the avoda of Shabbos Kodesh? Zachar Esyam HaShabbos HaKodesh. What does that mean? It's an opportunity we don't want to miss. It's a very special day. What can be accomplished today cannot be accomplished tomorrow. You can't say, well, if I miss it on Shabbos, I'll make it up on Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon doesn't have the same power as Shabbos. And we must constantly be aware. The first avoda of Shabbos is to be aware that today is Shabbos. And when a person is aware that a Shabbos means everything you're going to be doing is different. The way you dress is going to be different. The way you speak is going to be different. The way you eat and what you eat and how you serve the food is going to be different. So Rabbi Pinkus says, we must constantly be aware that today is Shabbos. And it's something that I usually speak about in Elul by the Yamim Noraim, when we talk about the process of Teshuvah. Azivas hachei, you must leave the sin. Charata, you have to regret what you did. Kabbalah al ha'asir, you have to accept you're never going to do it again. Oral vidui, confession, bein adam mechaveru, asking mechila. But the truth is that the first stage of all of those other stages is self-awareness. If a person is not self-aware that they're sinning, then there's never going to be a ziva sacher and charata. They're never going to leave the sin and regret that they sin if they're not even aware that they're sinning. So the first thing we have to daven for, the chassidim would daven that they should be able to daven. The first thing we have to daven for is the self-awareness, to be aware of our behaviors, our interactions, our patterns of speech. We can't change if we're not aware of who we are. And something we really have to daven for, Hashem, please open my eyes, pokeichim, so I can know who I am. So Rabbi Pinchas says, the first thing to do is to be aware that it's Shabbos. So we have to daven, Hashem should help us to just be aware that this day is different than all other days. Shavat, we've spoken about it a lot, means to cease, cessation of malacha. We have in Megillas Eicha, Shavat misos libeinu, perakimon nehapach, le'eva mecholenu, the joy in our hearts has ceased. But in the root word Shavat, which means to cease, okay, Shabbos doesn't really mean rest, it means cessation of work. By Yishbos, by Amashvi, God ceased working. But in that, you have a two-letter root, and that is Shin and Beis. And Shin Beis means to have a seat, and have a seat, and contemplate. Just sit down at God's table. Stop rushing around. Stop being so busy with other things. Stop being distracted by this whole world. Sit down and be aware of what day it is, and be aware whose table you are at. So the first avoda is Shabbos, is to constantly be aware, today is different. Today is Shabbos. Let us describe more specifically what this awareness entails. What does it mean to be aware that it's Shabbos? What's different on Shabbos? When the Shulchan Aruch describes Shabbos, bitachon, trust, in Shabbos, in Hashem, when the Shulchan Aruch describes Shabbos, bitachon in Hashem is emphasized. And the Shulchan Aruch writes of Yosef Karo, it is a mitzvah for a person not to think about his business and his work at all, and it should be in his eyes as all his work is done. So when it comes to Shabbos, it's a mitzvah for a person not to think about his business, not to think about his work. And anyone who's a business person, you know how difficult of a challenge this may be. It should be in his eyes as if all his work was done. So if you see in the footnote, where the Rav Pinchas is quoting from, so I went to look it up, so I'm going to quote it for you inside the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, okay? Simon Shin Vav, Seif Ches, okay? You could see it's sourced on the bottom, it says Aruch Chaim 3068. I went to look it up, oops, sorry, moved the computer by mistake. So I'm going to actually quote it inside. What is the actual Lashon of the Halacha? What should we not be thinking about? What should we not be speaking about on Shabbos? So Hilcha Shabbos, Simen Shin Vav. Okay? Seif Ches. And Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber, writes, Hear her ba'asakav mutar. Listen. Hear her ba'asakav mutar. Umikoma kon mishum oneg Shabbos. Mitzvah shlo yachshav v'am klal. Hear her, like the sons of Korach had hear her teshuva, is a fleeting thought. It's, I hear her teshuvah is a thought of repentance. Hear her ba'asakav mutar. So first, Rav Yosef Karo Shulchan Aruch writes, to contemplate, to not contemplate, that's the wrong word, to briefly think about, to have your mind come upon your asakav, your business mutar, hear her ba'asakav mutar. It's mutar to have your mind thinking about what you are involved in. So the Mishnah Brura clarifies, the Mishnah Brura says, dichtiv, like the Pasuk says, vidaber davar, you should speak about a matter. This is the Chafetz Chaim commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, dibur asur, hear her mutar. Okay? So again, the Mechaber just said, hear her ba'asakav mutar, you're allowed to contemplate, to think, I keep saying the word contemplate, hear her hey teshuvah, or thoughts of teshuvah. You're allowed to have thoughts of your asakav, of your business, that's mutar. Why? Because the Chavetz Chaim says, the Pasuk says, vidaber dover, you should speak about a matter, dibur asur, so it's forbidden to speak about your business on Shabbos, hear her mutar. However, if you have a hear her, you have a thought about it, you're a human being, it's difficult to difficult to control our thoughts all the time, even though we strive in avodas Hashem to do so. So if you have a thought about your asakah of your business, it's mutter. However, going away from the Mishnah Berurah back to the Shulchan Aruch, umikol makom, nevertheless, mishum oneg Shabbos, because of the pleasantness of enjoying Shabbos, mitzvah shelo yachshuv bahem klal. And that is what Rav Shimshon Pinkas had just quoted in his English. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's a mitzvah shelo yachshuv bahem klal. You really have to strive. It's a mitzvah not to think about your business. Put your business out of your mind, your enterprises and your real estate and whatever meetings you're going to have that week. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, mitzvah shelo yachshuv behem klal, quoting the Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah not to think about it at all. Umikol shekein, and the Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim writes, mikol shekein, im yesh lo al yidei hahirhur, tir das halev uda'aga. Certainly, if a person is going to start thinking about, remember, because the Shulchan Aruch first said you could think about it, but you can't talk about it. But then clarification, really it's a mitzvah because of Oneg Shabbos, you should try not to think about it at all. Why? Because the Mishnah Berurah says, because certainly, if through those even fleeting thoughts, he's going to have tirdat halev, he's going to feel heaviness and worry in his heart, uda'aga, he's going to have grave concern, worry. He should be very careful not to think about his business. I am Beis Yosef, you should see in the Beis Yosef. So a person has to be very careful because Shabbos is a time of Oneg, and Shabbos is a time of me and Hashem. Shabbat, just like God ceased from work, I must cease from work. And even mentally, I have to try and align my thought process not to be thinking about my business of the past week, of the coming week, the deal that's on the table, the meeting that's upcoming, everything that I have to take care of. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, even thinking about it, not necessarily speaking about it, will bring you to a place of concern and worry. You don't want to come on Shabbos to having grave concerns and worry. So you have to be very careful to direct your thoughts properly on Shabbos. So I've quoted from this before. My sons actually got it from their bar mitzvah, four of their bar mitzvah. It was a wonderful gift. It's the Mishnah Berurah Dirshu. So the Mishnah Berurah, in the Dirshu edition, there are Biurim Umisafim on this page from our contemporary poskim. So I'm going to quote the footnote in the Mishnah Berurah refers you to Biurim Umusafim. Okay? So the Chavetz Chaim has just said, I am Beis Yosef. You should see the Beis Yosef. So the footnote says, Sham Kasav B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah Sheba'ofin Zah Asur Laharher. There it is written, in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, then in this matter, it's forbidden to even think about your thoughts. V'hosif, and is added, shezehu she'omim b'tfilas mincha. This is what we say in tefilas mincha. Tefilas mincha when? Tefilas mincha of Shabbos. I'm just going to open up the Siddur, which I have right here in front of me. Okay, what do we say? We say on Shabbos, menucha, shalva, shalom, v'shalva, v'hashkev, v'vedechus. We should have menucha shalom. We should have a rest of shalom. So you shouldn't be resting on Shabbos physically and your mind is racing about everything that you have to do in work. Menucha shalom, it should be a menucha of peace, v'shalva, and tranquility, v'hashkev, and security, and tranquility, and serenity. Vavetach and security, menucha shleima, a complete rest, sha'ata rotzeba, that you, God, desire. And this is what the Beis Yosef is quoted here in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, and the Be'er Mumasafim quotes Tvilas Mincha. Why shouldn't you even think about your business? Because we daven that we should have menucha shalom, hashke vavetach. We should have menucha, a rest of peace and quiet and tranquility and serenity. Menucha shleima, sha'ata rotzeba, God, we should have a rest that God desires. V'keim b'birkas hamazon, and so too in the birkas hamazon, we say shalom to hate tsara v'yagon v'yam menuchasenu. We say that in Ritzei. We should not have tsara and yagon, pain and sighing on this holy day of rest. So therefore, we should not even be thinking about business on Shabbos because it might cause us anxiety. The im al yidei hahirhur nigram lo oneg. But interestingly, if by thinking about your business nigram lo oneg, it's going to cause you a pleasure. It won't diminish. For most people, thinking about their business, it might cause them anxiety on Shabbos. And so this, you have to direct your thoughts, says Mishnah Berurah. You shouldn't even be thinking about it based on the Shulchan Aruch. However, im ayidei hahirhur nigram lo oneg. Let's say you have, you had a great business deal that week, and you're so thankful to Hashem, and you were able to give, I don't know, $100,000 to tzedakah, and everything went very well, and Baruch Hashem. So if on the machshava, the hearer, the thinking about the business, it's going to increase your delight. Kegon ashir, like a rich person, hamer harher behotzas nisui bano, a rich person who's thinking about marrying off his son, he has enough money, everything went so well. Kasav ha-kafachayim, the kafachayim writes, Shabivadai mutar leharher. So if it's going to bring you to a place of onek, it was a successful business week and things, Baruch Hashem, went very well, and it's going to increase your joy of Shabbos, then certainly it is mutar to think about it. Va'af ein mitzvah limanam mikacham. There is no mitzvah to refrain from thinking about it if it was good news and it's going to cause you oneg. But if it's going to cause you any sort of, like the Mishnah Berurah says, tirdas halev uda'aga, you have to be very careful to redirect your thought process. So we see in Avodas Hashem, Hashem demands your thoughts also. A person, an Eved Hashem, must be in total self-control, not only over our actions, not only over our speech, but also over machshav. And if we find ourselves thinking about something on Shabbos that's causing us anxiety, tirdas halev, da'aga over the business deal that's coming up on Monday, we have to try to put it out of our mind, not only to not talk about it, but not even to think about it. Going back up to the Shulchan Aruch. So we've already done the Mishnah Berurah, the following statements. Here, hur ba'asakav mutar. It's mutar to have the hearer in your matter, but the Chavetz Chaim says not to talk about it. V'daber davar, don't speak about it, but you could think about it. However, mikol makom mishum oneg Shabbos. Nevertheless, because of enjoyment, whatever brings you oneg Shabbos enhances your enjoyment of Shabbos. Mitzvah shel yachshu behem klal. It's a mitzvah you really shouldn't think about at all. We saw the Mishnah Berurah as well as the Be'urim u'Musafim. Continuing with the Shulchan Aruch, the Yehei be'einav. What should it be like on Shabbos? Ki ilu kol melachto asui. When you come to Shabbos, that's the meaning of Shabbat, cessation of work. When you come to Shabbos, yehei beinav, it should be in his eyes, ki ilu, as if kol melachto asui. You should consider as if all your work is done. Says, how could he do this? Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'yeh beinav, it should be in your eyes, v'kedi'isa b'mechelta, Parshas Yisro, like the Mechelta says in Parshas Yisro, the Pasuk says in the Aseres HaDibro, sheshes yamim ta'avod, v'asizu kamalach tacha, for 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. V'chi efshar la'adam la'asos kamalach t'b'sheshes yamim. The Chavetz Chaim here in the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Mechelta. The Pasuk in Yisro says, sheshes yamim ta'avod, v'asizu kamalach tacha, for 6 days you shall do your work, and you should do all your labor. That sounds like it's telling you should work for 6 days of your life and then you're never going to work again. So, v'chi afshel la'adam la'asos kol melachto b'sheishas yamim. What does that mean? It's not possible for a person to do all their work for their whole life in 6 days, but that's what the pasuk sounds like. No, ela shivot ki ilu kol melachto chasui. You should cease. Shavos, ela shavos, shavot ki ilu kol melachto chasui. So it's a frame of mind. It's a tranquility of mind. Sheishes yamim ta'avod va'asizu kol melachtecha. But when it comes to Shabbos, v'yam ha'shvi'i shavah v'yinevash, God ceased and restored the soul of the world, the soul of man, v'yinevash, from the word nefesh. And so too, we must have a restoration of the soul on Shabbos. It should be in our eyes. As if, of course, not all of our work is done. When you come to light candles later today, your work's not all done. You still have a list of what you need to do next week and on Motzei Shabbos on Sunday. The work begins right again. It should be as if all your work is done. Why? Because this is a day for me in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this was Hilchos Shabbos of the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Vav, Seif Ches, along with the commentary of the Mishnah Berurah. So we have to have a frame of mind where it's as if all of our work is finished. And even thinking about it, like we have seen, could be problematic if it's going to cause us heaviness of the heart, worry, and anxiety. Okay, so let's go back to this paragraph that we just read again after we learned the halacha. A challenge, maybe something we'll all work on to keep in mind as Shabbos approaches, of what we are not supposed to be speaking about in terms of business, and to consider as if all of our work is done. Going back to the beginning of the paragraph, just to recap now that we saw the Shulchan Aruch inside, let us describe more specifically what this awareness entails. When the Shulchan Aruch describes Shabbos, and we have seen it inside, bitachon in Hashem is emphasized, trust in God is emphasized, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, It is a mitzvah for a person not to think about his business and his work at all. It should be in his eyes as all his work were done. We already did that inside. On Shabbos Kodesh, a person puts all his work behind him and he doesn't worry at all about where his parnasa will come from. Doing extra Shabbos, I was just watching one this week. I enjoy them so much, but I don't often have time to watch them. Rav Elimelech Biderman daily chizuk clips that are sent out. I did watch one this week, and it was on doing extra hishtadlus. Rabbi Melech Biderman says a person wants, you have to do normal hishtadlus, and then Hashem takes care of the rest. But a person thinks he does extra hishtadlus, and he's going to earn more than God wants him to earn. That's not extra hishtadlus, that's foolishness, that's shtus. He gave the example of a person goes to daven, and he says in the middle of davening, you're picking up your cell phone. In the middle of davening, I don't think he said checking an email, Rabbi Melech Biderman, but he said picking up your cell phone in the middle of davening. So, what?
The taxi driver
story. I can hear what you said.
The taxi driver story.
Oh, very good. Okay, thank you. My husband just reminded me of a story that happened to us in our story a year and a half ago. So Rav Elimelech Biderman says, if you do extra hishtadlus, you go to daven, you pick up your phone in the middle of davening. He says, what is that? You're so afraid to miss the phone call, but you're in the middle of Tanzer Ribono Sholem. So too, on Shabbos Kodesh, a person puts all his work behind him. He doesn't worry about where his parnasa will come from. Now I know for everybody on this Zoom call, nobody, chas v'shalom, is going to do malacha tomorrow that is chalila asr for us. However, even thinking about the work can be a transgression of the halacha of not to bring you da'aga on Shabbos, because if we think about it and we talk about it, and I'm not writing anything down, but really you're doing your extra shtadlus. It's not for Shabbos. If Hashem wants you to have it, you're going to have it. If Hashem doesn't want me to have it, I'm not going to have it. It doesn't matter how much extra hishtadlus, putting that in quotes, I do. I can't get more than God wants me to have, whether I think about it and plan the business deal on Shabbos or not, whether I pick up the cell phone during tefillah instead of a Biderman or not. So what my husband just reminded me of, when we were in Eretz Yisrael last summer 2019, a year and a half ago with the family, the first few mornings my husband's always jet lagged, so he goes to Nate's by the hotel. So it was the summer, so he was in the taxi very early. It was still dark outside, and he was on his way to Daven Nates by the Kotel. So he was talking to the taxi driver. So did anyone see Mishpacha had a supplement on Sukkot, taxi driver, all about the taxi drivers in Israel? It was absolutely fantastic. There was a story of Herschel Schachter in there. It was amazing. Anyway, so everyone, I think, has a taxi driver story. So my husband was talking to a taxi driver, so he said, how do you enjoy working the night shift? Because it was still dark outside, I don't know what time, 4:30. So he said he likes it very much, it's quieter, the streets are quieter. So my husband said, but you have less business. And my husband said he was not a visibly observant person based on, did he have tattoos? Yeah, my husband said tattoos and the shaved head and the music in the car. My husband said he was not religious. And he said to my husband, Charbibi, you think it makes a difference to God if he wants to send me passengers, if I drive at night or if I drive at day? If he wants to send me the business, he'll send me the business. True story. So that's why Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes here, on Shabbos Kodesh, a person puts all his work behind him. It's up to the Ribono Shel'olam. I'm sitting with Hashem at the table. He came, he's guest in my house. I don't want to worry. I don't want to have tirud halev and da'agas is the tirdas halev and da'aga, and it's going to cause me to take anxiety medication on Shabbos. And I'm not doing extra shtadlus. It's not going to help me. Got more than Hashem wants me to have. Anyway, a person puts all his work behind him. He doesn't worry at all where his parnasa will come from. On Shabbos, page 35 towards the bottom. On Shabbos, we do not read secular books. So whenever I read that, it reminds me of a story in the Hani Macha's biography, okay, where she speaks about this topic of not reading secular material on Shabbos. I'm just turning. So Hani Machus tells over the following story. It's really not, it's in regard to how all neshamos are connected. All Jewish neshamos are connected, but here she mentions not reading secular works on Shabbos. So when I read that, that's what I think of. Okay? This is from Hani's Torah teachings. It's a gray box, which means it was from a recording of her actual teaching. Excuse me. So Hani says, I want to tell you a story. Rebbetzin Leah Cook said one time she took it upon herself not to read even kosher newspapers on Shabbos. So I'm not telling anyone what to do. I don't do that. I'm not passing any halacha. I'm simply reading one of Hani's Torah teachings. But when I read, there are Pinchas writes on Shabbos, we should not even read secular material. This is what it reminds me of. I want to tell you a story. Rabbi Tanaya Cook said one time she took it upon herself not to read even kosher newspapers on Shabbos. She wants to concentrate on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. One Shabbos, she was passing a table, and there was a kosher newspaper that one of her kids was reading. She passed, and she read a certain headline for 30 seconds at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She read the headline. That's it. After Shabbos, a woman came and said, Rebbetzin Cook, I'm so broken. I am Shomer Shabbos for 4 years. Today at 4 o'clock, I felt a complete weakness. I smoked a cigarette. So Rebbetzin Cook said, it wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. Don't feel bad. You can do teshuvah. Rebbetzin Cook felt in this teeny tiny way she affected the people who are connected to her neshama. I know that probably most of you have this book at home for your reference. It's page 389 through 390. I want to tell you something, Henny continued. When you hold back from doing what you're not supposed to do, whatever it is, the Rav Soloveitchik speaks about midas tzimtzum, contracting from ourselves and withholding and withdrawing from something we want to do and we don't do it. When you hold back from doing something you're not supposed to do, you manage not to, whatever it is, you affect your parents, your children, all the people in the generation who are connected to you. We're all connected, said Henny. It's a very scary thing. Yesterday morning on Shabbos, says Henny, so she must have been teaching on Sunday, I got up and there was a big, juicy, luscious-looking piece of cake. I'm not making up any of the words. I told you what page I'm on. It was a mousse cake. I had a feeling I should not eat it. It's not good for me. It was before davening. Even though I'm Hasidish, if I'm very hungry, I can eat before I daven. I felt I shouldn't eat it. And I heard a voice, Henny, don't eat it. It's not good for you. Anyway, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I ate the cake. So after that, I felt bad. I was disappointed in myself. I didn't do what I knew was the right thing for myself. I was saying that I want my neshama to be stronger than my body, but I succumbed. Why did I succumb to the taiva to eat the cake? So when I did his bodedus, badad, being alone with God after shachos at 11 a.m., I said, listen, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sorry. I fell. Please don't be distant from me. You know I didn't mean it. I fell. We're human. I'm sorry. And I did teshuva. And then today somebody came to my house, says Henny. He's about teshuva. He's been from for a while. He told me Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock he had a taiva he could not overcome. He texted someone on his cell phone. So this person told me all the times he texted on Shabbos. Afterwards he felt like that's it. He would take off his yarmulke and he would be mechal Shabbos all day. But yesterday after he texted, he caught himself at 11 a.m. when Henny was doing his bodus. He went to shul and he said, Hashem, I know you love me, and you know I love you. I don't know what happened. I lost it. I was weak. I texted on Shabbos. I'm sorry, but I'm not giving up. The rest of Shabbos, he learned and he did what he was supposed to do. Last paragraph, and he says, we are all connected to each other. That's what I want to tell you. So when you want to do what you're not supposed to do, remember, you're affecting who knows how many other neshamos. So it's a piece about Shabbos, it's a piece about teshuva, it's a piece about how all of Am Yisrael's areivim zeh lazeh, but it always comes to my mind when I see any statement or reference to the halacha that we're not supposed to read secular material on Shabbos, because that piece begins with Rabbi Tanaya Cook saying, took upon herself not even to read the kosher newspapers, the kosher magazines, which is something way beyond me. It's something I'm not even working on and don't want to particularly right now. Everyone on their own level. However, she understood that her reading of a headline that she wasn't supposed to be reading for her level affected another neshama. And that's what we also have to think about. If we're contemplating our business dealings, if we're having anxiety, if we're being stressed out, then that is going to affect other neshamas. First of all, the people in our homes. And second of all, perhaps in a spiritual way that we do not even understand, it will affect other people. So, says Rav Pinchas, on Shabbos we don't read secular books. Why? The answer is simple. Why don't we read secular books? Okay. The answer is simple. Imagine someone's parents came from afar to visit him and his family. And you already remember the mashal some months ago on earlier pages that we read here that your parents come to visit you and they knock on the door. And you tell them, oh, just wait outside. We're not ready. The blinds are shuttered and someone upstairs blow drying her hair and somebody's shaving in the window and somebody's putting on makeup and someone's running to wear my meatballs. And you say to your parents, Rav Pinchas told us this earlier in the Sefer, and you say to your parents, oh, you know, you can't come in. We're not ready. Thanks for taking the train, but please wait outside. Please wait outside. Who would say that to your parents? page 14 through 15 in the Sefer. You don't say that to your parents. You welcome them. The house should be ready. You know they're coming. It's an important guest. So too Shabbos. You have to be ready for Shabbos when Shabbos comes. You know, it's this man and you're running around frantically. So imagine someone's parents come from afar to visit him and his family. So what does he do? Does he ignore them and pick up the newspaper? You know, you have chashuv guests, you have your parents and they come and they sit down and you sit down on the couch with them and you say, oh, thanks, I just need to read the sports section. I don't even want to say in the New York Times. I hope nobody reads the New York Times. I just want to read the sports section. And does the Wall Street Journal have a sports section? I just want to read the sports section, whatever newspaper it is. I came, I traveled all this way. I've been waiting a week to see you, and I finally made it here, and you just want to read the sports section? That's more important. Or even worse, you want to read the stocks? I'm sitting right here. Does he ignore his parents and pick up newspapers? So that is why Shabbos is here. Hashem is here. We should be involved in Zmiros, in Torah. Whatever elevates us and brings us closer to God. Shavat, we remove our minds from everything else. Lashev, to have a seat at the table, dear Ribbono Shel Olam. It is forbidden, says Rav Pinkas, continues, to cook or bake on Shabbos. Bishul and Ova are forbidden on Shabbos. I just put up Holy Chalado earlier this morning. Why did the Torah forbid cooking on Shabbos? If anyone wants a really good Holy Chalado recipe, you could email me, I'm happy to share. It was in the paper a little while ago by Naomi Nachman. I forget who she got it from. She wrote, I don't remember. It is forbidden to cook, and it's 100% whole wheat, delicious. It is forbidden to cook or bake on Shabbos. Why did the Torah forbid cooking on Shabbos for Shabbos? But on Yom Tov, it's permitted to cook on Yom Tov for the day's needs of Yom Tov. We can explain with the above example of the parents' visit. So in other words, the question is like, why can't I prepare my needs on Shabbos for Shabbos? Okay, maybe I can't prepare for Sunday, but on Yom Tov, I could prepare today for today. Why is Shabbos different? We can explain with the above example of the parents' visit. Imagine the father comes in. Right? He greets his son-in-law and he says, where's Rachel? The son-in-law replies, she's in the kitchen baking a cake. The father would say, I didn't come here to eat a cake. I'm only here for a short time. My whole visit is only 24, 25, 26 hours. I don't care about the cake. I have plenty of cake at home. I came here to spend time with my family. Tell her to come sit down. Let's enjoy each other's company. Don't worry about the cake when I get here. That's what Hashem wants from us on Shabbos. You want to bake the cake before I get it so you can put it on the table? Great, I'm here for 25 hours, says your father. That's all. With the COVID pandemic, it's so relevant. My parents should live and be well with Arichus Yamim and Shanim. I don't know the last time, we haven't seen them in such a long time. It's almost a year. It's Baruch Hashem, they are. And I know at May Vesem Shana in New York very, very often. I'm sure many of you have met them at different, my mother, different Shiram. Or she says she, who she meets in the supermarket when she goes out. I can't believe it, how long it is. So imagine they say, listen, we got a reprieve. We can come for 26 hours. We won't have to quarantine, the border somehow open and there's no threat of COVID. We come for 26 hours. So think about it like this. Not forget the book. So they're going to come. So you're going to sit down with your mishpacha. And that brings me Oleg Shabbos Mamish. But when your parents are here, you haven't seen them for 10 months and you don't know when you're going to see them. You're going to sit down with the newspaper? Excuse me, let me just pick up the 5:10 Jewish Times. What's it called? The Jewish Home. My kids love it. It's wonderful. But when they're here and you haven't seen them for 10 months. And then you say, oh, I'm just going to bake a cake. Now I have to wash all the dishes. Now I have to take it out of the oven. Now I have to make the glaze. Now you're making the glaze. I told you I'm coming. It's not a surprise. You knew Shabbos was coming. You knew your parents said, we could really come see you. Finally, we could come. And the grandkids are going to be upstairs putting on makeup, and this one's going to be shaving, and that one's going to be cleaning up the room. Now, do it before I get there. Now? I'm not going to do it. I'm here now? Think of it like that. Before I came, you could prepare. I don't care about the cake. Now? I have plenty of cake at home. I came to spend time with my family. Tell Rachel to come sit down. Leave the kitchen, Shabbat, shave. Let's enjoy each other's company. And I think when we make the mashal like that, it makes a lot of sense. What Pinkas is saying, if you really understand that Shabbos Malkasa represents your Ribbono Shel Olam coming into our homes, we don't want to be busy with other things. You waited so long. Sheishis Yamim Tavo, the way of the world is a person must work for 6 days. So yes, we chapa shachos, and hopefully we don't check our phone in between. And yes, mincha, we give God a matana, a gift of our time. 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes to daven mincha in the middle of the day. Hashem, I stop for you. Yes, we daven arvus, and yes, we are kovei itim, the men and the women, hopefully attend the shir. We say to them, but the whole week is so hairy. Then you come to Shabbos, and now you're still being busy. You're having your hurim basakav that cause you tear the salev and the agar. Now you're baking. Now you're reading the sports section. I don't want this, said Hashem. You knew I was coming. My parents could say I'm coming for 26 hours. I would make sure all my business is finished to spend those 26 hours with them. When you say it like that, it's very real. That makes a lot of sense. Says Rav Pinkus, top of page 36. This is what Hashem wants of us on Shabbos. That's what remembering Shabbos Zachor, Yom HaShabbos, is all about. If you prepare delicacies before Shabbos, great. So Hashem says, let's partake of them now together. Let's sit down at the table and have delicacies. But if something went wrong on Friday, you weren't able to prepare. Hey, something happened, you couldn't do it. Now, when Hashem gets there, when your parents finally arrive after you haven't seen them for 10 months and they're only here for 26 hours, now you're going to be cooking. Now's not the time to do so if you didn't prepare in advance. Hashem has, quote, plenty of kugel and cake. That's what it says in the Sefer. I'm not making that up. Hashem has plenty of kugel and cake. Everything in the world is God's. He doesn't need you baking and cooking now. Now is the time to sit down, sit down together. Shabbat, shave. Speak words of Torah. Enjoy each other's company. Because on Shabbos, we are in Hashem's company. And Rav Pinkus quotes a Mamar Chazal from Talmud Yerushalmi. Chazal say the sages barely permitted people to greet each other on Shabbos. Interesting. Excuse me. Why was greeting a friend barely permitted? It's simple. When you're in the company of a powerful king, when you're in the company of an emperor, you don't greet others. When your friend walks in, you don't turn away from the king and you say, oh, hi, my best friend is here, king. Just a moment, please. You want to spend time with the king. You don't want to distract your attention from the king. How do we create this lofty sense of being in Hashem's presence? How do we create this for ourselves in our lives? So I think for myself, maybe some of you have been Zocha, you live close, or in the same city or country as your children and grandchildren, so you have been able to see them over during this time, which I sincerely hope has been the case. And Baz Hashem, we shall continue to enjoy your nachas. For me, the mashal, the example that I just gave, is very powerful. And for me, it makes a lot of sense why on Shabbos Hashem wants undivided attention and why we should give him our undivided attention. How do we create this lofty sense of being in Hashem's presence? How do we create this? We don't have to create it, says Rav Pinkus. It already exists. When Shabbos comes, you are automatically entered into the king's palace. You're already in his presence. All we have to do is remember today Shabbos. Make sure you're there. Alei Eli Hahar Vehei Sham. It's in Parashas Mishpatim. Parachav Dalet, I think. Parashas Mishpatim, Sefer Shmos. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come up to me to the mountain. Alei Eli Hahar Vehei Sham. Come up to me. Ascend the mountain, you should be there. So what do you mean, come up to the mountain, you should be there? Obviously, if Moshe is going up to the mountain, then he's there. Where else would he be? Let's try and see if I can find the pasuk so I can tell you the exact source. Here it is. It's Shemos 24:12. Okay, Perak Chaf Dal Pasuk Gibis. Vayom Hashem Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Alei Eli Hahara, come up to me to the mountain. The words Vehei Hashem seem totally redundant and superfluous. What do you mean? And be there. Ve'etna lechas luchas ha'evan. I will give you the tablets of stone. Ve'hatorah ve'mitzvah asher kasafti lo rasam, and the Torah mitzvah that I wrote to instruct them. So what's the Vehei Hashem? So the Kodesh says, Alei Eli Hahara, come up to the mountain. Vehei Hashem, you should be there. Meaning, sometimes you could be in a place and not be in a place. You could physically be there, but emotionally, you are removed. Psychologically, you are removed. Hashem says, when you come to me, I want you to be there with me. Not just physically be there, cognitively, emotively, psychologically, be with me. 1 second, there are four messages. Question. Okay, that's true. You're right. You're right. So you could say you're 100% right. We've learned in the past that on Shabbos, very nice, on Yom Tov, the Shalosh Regalim, we go up to Hashem's house. We are Ola L'Rago. And on Shabbos, Hashem comes to our house, like we just gave the mashal from pages 14 through 15. Your parents are knocking on the door. You're right. So you could say the palace comes to us. Hashem, by being in our presence, our home turns into the palace of God. Remember, Kavod HaShechina, the chariot for the divine, and it comes to us. You're correct. So let's say that the king comes to us. So if the king comes, that's as if his palace has come to us as well. So God wants us to pay attention to him, not just to set the table for Shabbos, not to have tasty delicacies only for Shabbos, but actually to pay attention to who is here in our homes. You're correct, Rivka. We have learned in the past that Hashem comes to our house. You're absolutely correct. So how do we create this lofty sense of being in God's presence? We don't have to create it. It already exists. All we have to do is remember today is Shabbos. Just don't spoil that. Don't forget, going back to how we started this year, the self-awareness, to be cognitively aware that this is a brief reprieve from the whole week and enjoy Hashem's presence. The table should be a Shabbos table. You must know who is sitting at this table with us. In the Zmiris, we say, Askina Sudasa. We sing that at Shal Shudas. I think there's an Askina that's also saying, Yom HaShabbos. We sing it at Shal Shudas. The Shal Shudas went, Askina Sudasa, Dahi Sudasa, Da'atika Kadisha. We have prepared a meal. Askina Lahatkin Suda. We have prepared a meal. Dahi Sudasa. This is the meal, Da'atika Kadisha, of the Holy Ancient One. So Pinchas says, Rivka, we are sitting at Hashem's table with him. So Hashem brings his table to us. So it's a royal table that God has brought to us. Okay? Baruch Hashem. This is, says Rav Pinchas, the precious gift we look forward to receiving from him. Shabbos is a matana. So the Gemara says, Masach Shabbos, Yod Amad Beis. Okay, the last thing we read is what Pinchas says, it's a precious gift. Shabbos is a precious gift we look forward to receiving. The precious gift we look forward to receiving is we are sitting at Hashem's table with him. So I'm going to quote from the Gemara Masecha Shabbos, Yod Amad Beis. Okay. Amar Rabbi Bar Machsaya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Hanosein matana lechaveiro, someone who gives a present to his friends, tsarich lehodio, you should make your friend aware that you gave him a present. You should inform him about the fact that you gave him a present. Why? Because the footnote says, where did I circle it when I prepared this? Oh, because, one second. Because if the gift is conveyed without the recipient's knowledge, the benefactor should eventually tell the recipient. By doing so, the benefactor engenders goodwill and friendship. So if you give a gift to your friend and your friend doesn't even know about it, it's not going to enhance feelings of friendship than a Havas Yisrael. So if you give a gift for your friend and they don't know, don't be so humble that it's anonymous. You want to enhance a Havas Yisrael. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Lada'as, to know, ki ani Hashem mikadichem. I am God who makes you holy. That is a pasuk from Sefer Shemos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. And the pasuk says there, listen to the full pasuk. Va'ata dabra b'nei, so you should speak to the children of Israel, God said to Moshe, Lemor saying, Ach eshabsosai tishmu, but you should guard my Sabbath. Ki osi beinu veinechem, it is a sign, Shabbos is a sign, between me and between you, l'doroseichem, for the generations, l'da'as, to know, Ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. I am God who sanctifies you. So it says, Lada'as, you should know. So the Gemara says, he who gives a gift to his friend, you should make it known to your friend. So the Gemara continues. This was also taught in the Braisa. Lada'as ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. The way the Pasuk ends, to know, I am God who sanctifies you. Amar lo akosh baruch hu l'Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Matana Tova, Yeshli, Beveis, Ginazai. I have a wonderful gift. I have a Matana Tova, a good present, in my treasure house, in my storehouse. Vishabbos Shema. Shabbos is the name of this beautiful gift. Va'ani mevakesh litna liYisrael. And I seek to give this wonderful present to Israel. Leich v'hodien. God said, I want to have a Matana Tova, a precious, beautiful, wonderful gift. And I want to give it to Bnei Yisrael. Leich v'hodiyim, go and inform them of this. So we learn from this Gemara that if a person has a gift, you should tell your friend. Who do we learn it from? The Malamei Torah, La'amma Yisrael, because he had a precious gift for us in his storehouse, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and inform the people. Mikan Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, from here Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel taught, Hano Sein Pas Latinok, one who gives a piece of bread to a young child, Tzarich l'hodiy l'imo, you should tell his mother. So if you do something, you know, you give the child a cookie, or it's your niece or your nephew or you, or a best friend, and the mother might not know. It doesn't mean if there are allergies and they're worried about sugar and food coloring and it's not organic. No, the mice of the Gemara means in a good way. If you do something wonderful for a child, you should tell the child's mother, because it will endear you to the child's mother. It will enhance feelings of friendship, and therefore that's what we want to do. We want to increase avisro. But who we learn it from? The Ribbono Shelolam, because Hashem said, speak to the children of Israel and say, guard my Sabbath. It is a sign between me and between you for generations. Lada'as, you should know. What should we know? Says the Gemara, you should know that I have a wonderful gift. Go tell the people. And what's the gift? The gift is the day we're going to be ushering in a few short hours, when Hashem brings his palace to our home. And if you only had 26 hours with your parents, after almost a year of not seeing them, would we really be busy with our business, with our newspapers, with baking and cooking? Or would we sit down and say, I'm so happy to see you. Wow, let's spend time together. So I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. We thank our sponsor, who wishes to remain unnamed publicly, very, very much for this year. I wish you a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everyone. Kol tov. Good Shabbos and Besoros Tova.